One thing also about charitability is that when you look at something and whether it's charitable, the focus is on the purpose of the activity. What's the mission-related goal, the impact goal, rather than on the nature of the activities themselves? So in the impact space, a lot of the time we hear a lot of these buzzwords, entrepreneurship, business incubator, matchmaking, investing, and none of those activities in them of themselves are charitable activities, but they might be in a particular setting. So, you know, you might, we'll be talking about business incubators and when they can be charitable activities versus when you might want to move them into a for-profit entity. And, you know, if they're advancing science or they're revitalizing a distressed community happening in that distressed community, that can achieve a charitable purpose. Mentoring, generally business mentoring or, you know, mentoring new entrepreneurs, not charitable in and of itself, but might it be different if these are, you know, people of color that we're mentoring who haven't had access to, you know, certain types of services and benefits. So, you know, there are a number of different sides of these questions.
So, Laura, I know that, I mean, I think John Tyler is on the
call. He is.
And I know that you and John have done work in the entrepreneur space. I know Kaufman has spent a lot of time on it historically on entrepreneurship and things like that. Can you just talk a little bit about kind of the trajectory when you're thinking about taking something that isn't necessarily charitable? I know you sort of touched on it a little, but something that isn't necessarily charitable in and of itself, but that has the sort of the runway to be charitable and kind of how you get there a little.
Yeah. And John, if I share something you're not comfortable with, just, you know, feel free to interrupt me. But I remember when one of the big focuses of research of the foundation was on angel investing and the importance of angel investors to, you know, deal with market gaps in certain early stage work. And, you know, we spent a lot of time trying to figure out, you know, is there any way that we can somehow promote angel investing, the concept of it, the importance of it to figure out, you know, market failures? And so we explored, you know, obviously there was education around angel investing and the importance of it. There were, you know, helping people understand sort of where angel investors fit in the entrepreneurship ecosystem. And there was always, you know, there was also, I remember we set up a 501c6, a professional association, so people could share ideas. But ultimately, you know, we really had to think about what were the other charitable aspects that, you know, we could tie certain types of investing too. Could we, you know, we ended up setting up a fund for athletes who would make investments in businesses in low-income communities in Kansas City. They were acting as angels in those cases, but clearly we had to tie it to that plus factor, that charitable, what made that charitable? Because angel investing in and of itself, it's just, you know, it's part of the market economy. It's not charitable. So there were things like that. There were moments when, you know, we thought about demonstration projects, incubators. How could we work with incubators? We set up a school to teach, you know, to start an incubator. So we were testing all the time. I don't know, John, if you want to add anything.
Laura, I think you've summarized it well. You know, beginning with that entrepreneurship is not charitable, but engaging with entrepreneurs is, and we experimented with and continue.
I think we lost you, John.
Yeah. But I think it's instructive because I think right now we're seeing particularly from yesterday's sessions on the DEI track and thinking about kind of rectifying historic imbalances and moving away necessarily from, because we're seeing this a lot in the space of investing in funds or businesses owned by people of color, by women, other historically disadvantaged folks, that where in the past we used to look at the underlying thing of what those companies were doing, community working in lower income communities or developing stuff that was meant to address certain problems. And now there's a recognition, moving sort of, this is the notion of moving the charitability, that there is in and of itself supporting folks who have not, don't have access to capital, for example, or don't have mentors or don't have networks and things like that, that there might be a charitable basis for supporting those folks and those businesses in and of themselves because of the way society is and historically the problem of access, again, to capital, to mentors, to resources. And so moving away necessarily, and it's kind of a from the focus on what they're doing to the focus on the people who are doing it and why we need to support them. And this is a kind of, again, as we think about impact and charitability, and as we think about structures, this is coming up more and more, and trying to, again, find the basis of charitability and why we're doing it, which might not be the same as the basis of charitability as, for example, when Laura and John were thinking about entrepreneurship 20 years ago.